Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Hello, welcome to the Point Forward podcast, Milwaukee Bucks chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, and I am joined by the one and only Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And oh boy, do we have a story to talk about. The Milwaukee Bucks, well, they're 30-13, and they have a brand new head coach. They make the somewhat shocking maneuver to fire Adrian Griffin, first-year coach Adrian Griffin. He'd been a little bit maligned despite how well the Bucks have been in the win-loss column. Haven't blown out a lot of opponents, have really struggled to be teams that they should handle. Defense has been an issue. We have talked about some of this stuff, and the Bucks felt like they had to make a change. And then here we are Wednesday morning, and Doc Rivers, after some pretty heavy speculation that it would be Doc Rivers, it is in fact Doc Rivers, Marquette University alumnus, one of the 10 winningest coaches in NBA history, will be taking the reins. We don't even know if he's going to be coaching tonight as we record this against Cleveland. We'll figure some of that out. So, Jim, obviously I want to know what you were thinking here when this happened. You wrote a ton at jsonline.com really going into the backstory of why the Bucks felt like this had to happen. So I'm just going to give it to you there and give us some bullet points, like what led to this and you know, like how shocked are you? I mean, it seems like maybe not shocked is the overall prevailing sentiment around the Bucks organization and in the Twitterverse, but tell me where you stand on all of that.
All right. Look, I think I'm going to ride the fence a little bit, JR, in the broad question of, are you surprised? It's a yes and no. I'm surprised, yes, in that I didn't think Doc Rivers was John Horst's Craig Counsell, right? Like, David Ross was the manager of the Cubs until he wasn't, because they thought Craig Counsell was the guy to take them over the top. I'm surprised that was enough and Doc was that person identified during the season that had its ups and downs, but, you know, to this point, largely successful. Not surprised in that, JR, if they would have reevaluated Griffin after this year in the offseason, if, again, Doc Rivers or Steve Kerr or name any other maybe longtime coach with Ty Lue, you know, a couple of free agent-to-bes were available, I would not have been surprised if the team moved on. So, and I wrote about this at jsonline.com as to why that was. And really, JR, Adrian just never took control of the locker room, of these games. And it, look, they sort of pitched him as a guy who would. I think the Damian Lillard shakeup right before training camp totally altered the team from a game plan level to a personality level. And despite their success, I don't think Griffin ever, you know, got his arms around that. And, you know, we could see it from the very beginning, JR, in those first two blowout losses in Atlanta against Atlanta and Toronto, where veterans are in his office telling them to change the defense. When Damian Lillard says, I need to change my rotations. On one hand, the players like that open door policy. They like that he was willing to listen and do the things they thought could be successful. But there's a fine line there of too much empowerment from the players, because at some point they want to be coached and they want to be led. And I think for as much as they liked Adrian as a person, and I do think they liked the fact that they had a varied defensive scheme or schemes, I don't think they ever got to the point where they were like marching behind him rank and file. This is the guy who can win us a championship. Doc Rivers comes with his own set of questions in that regard, JR, which maybe we'll get into, but
we will.
I think that's just why this happened now. Really, really tough stretch of games here before the All-Star break. I think John Horst and ownership were just like, you know what? We're not going to wait till the All-Star break. We're not going to wait till Adrian coaches in the game and then redo this with 2 months left. I think they just thought this was the time. And, you know, a couple close wins in Detroit maybe just were enough and push this team over the edge and to make this move.
Yeah, those games really were frustrating, I think, if you're a Bucks fan, because you're supposed to blow out a team with four wins. You just aren't supposed to struggle when you have two Hall of Famers and a really great supporting cast and think of yourself as a championship contender. And if it were just two games against Detroit, you could explain some of that away. But it's been all year. They haven't had dominant wins. They dominated, oddly enough, the Celtics, and that was one of like their biggest blowout wins of the year, one of their true like easy wins of the season. When they hired him, when they hired Adrian Griffin, you know, obviously he hadn't been a head coach before, and you hit on this, but this is a really important point. They had not yet traded for Damian Lillard. He was inheriting a team very different, and potentially, I don't know if I even agree with this, but you could see the argument that this is a short, they might be good in the short term, but could be rebuilding very, very soon. You don't know if Giannis is re-signing his extension. You don't know Chris Middleton's situation at the time. It's possible that he would have been a perfect coach for a rebuilding situation. He had a lot of experience. He came in with a defensive first, I think, mentality, and yet that's been where the team has struggled. So I guess I'm curious, knowing what you know, what you think they really didn't understand about the situation that they would cut bait so early, if it was you just don't know what kind of leader he's going to be until he's in that situation where he is a head coach, or the X's and O's weren't there. I mean, I don't get the sense anyone thought he was a bad guy. Like you mentioned that they liked aspects of him. He was open-minded and he listened to his players. But I personally just get the sense he was overmatched, which isn't something you'd think would get past the interview process. So I wonder what was misunderstood here about Adrian Griffin that they'd be willing to cut bait before February 1st?
Yeah, I think, JR, and look, John Horst is going to speak after this, and
yeah,
ideally he's going to have that answer mm-hmm. tonight. I feel that they miscalculated was, frankly, that he was the guy in his first year that could lead this team to a championship.
Not unprecedented in the NBA. That has happened. First-year coaches win championships. That can happen.
Yeah. It's a short list. Mm-hmm. It's a very short list. And Adrian was on a team that had done it, right, where Nick Nurse had done that in Toronto. I think what's funny, JR, is I think they believe they made the right hire in June. And then when everything changed in October, September 27th.
They had to start thinking about this.
And look, this is not I don't want this to be misconstrued as some sort of issue with Damian Lillard. But the fundamental, like the basis of the team totally flipped 180. Mm-hmm. Everything that he had done from June to September 27th had to be torn up and thrown away. And now you could say, hey, that's sports. That's the job. True. And maybe now we can say Adrian wasn't in a place to do that. But how could you know that in June, that you would have this franchise-altering trade in late September? So I think John Horst, if I can guess, is going to say they firmly believed Adrian Griffin, first-year head coach, could get the job done when they hired him. Now when they fired him, they've come to the realization that currently constructed – And the growing pains of this first year head coach, they just felt it was untenable to continue. So I think they're also going to walk a line there, like acknowledging they made a change and they fired the guy when he's 30 and 13, but also not be willing to just say, wow, we totally got it wrong in June. Just the dynamics of everything changed in the interim. And it just was no longer the fit they thought it was back in the summer.
I want you to speculate too about where Giannis Adetokounmpo's role is in this. Presumably, I've always assumed if Adrian Griffin got hired, it's because Giannis gave his blessing, because whoever gets hired is going to get Giannis's blessing. I'm not saying that the guy was driving the decision making, but how can you not imagine that he is heavily, heavily involved in the decision making? Now, he's been one of the guys who's been fairly vocal, I would say, about kind of there needs to be a change. You know, he sort of challenged, I would say, his teammates, but not just the teammates, kind of the whole organizational structure at points this season, at one point in particular this season. You know, and he's bringing up things that make it sound like, you know, if you read between the lines, he would be okay with a different coach. I mean, that's reading quite a bit into it. I'm not saying that Giannis advocated for it or anything. I'm just saying at some point, maybe his involvement, his attitude changed too. And I don't know that for sure. I'm just under the assumption that no move is getting made without Giannis's blessing, hiring or firing, and that maybe he didn't think this fit, or he thought the fit was different. I know I'm asking you to speculate a lot, but I have to. I'm under that assumption. Is that fair or unfair to assume his involvement here?
I mean, it's fair to a degree. I mean, he sat in the interviews or had interviews with the finalists in June, in the summer, out of which Adrian Griffin's hired.
Over two very experienced coaches, as many people remember.
And so, look, I mean, John Horst and ownership said, hey, no player makes these decisions. But of course, he interviewed was part of the process. Like, so yes, I don't think Giannis is hiring or firing coaches. But yes, I also believe clearly he was a big part of the process at the end of the road in June for Adrian Griffin to be hired. Now, that said, the things he has said publicly are, there's no reading between the lines there. Like, Giannis is very honest and open.
Yes.
He says what he thinks and what he feels. So from the very beginning, JR, our Laurie Nickel wrote about this after Chicago. What did he say? Well, the politically correct thing is to say he's the coach, I'm the player, but this is a partnership, right? So this is the very beginning of the year. He has been vocal after games about this is not us defensively. We need to be better defensively. In, you know, the very controversial Vegas jaunt to Vegas, right, that people, you know, are going to mention as some sort of harbinger of doom, you know, look, Giannis sat up on the podium and Malik Beasley said the same things and Bobby Portis. We were disorganized. We didn't know what was going on in the game. And what did Giannis say? That's not on the head coach. That's on us, on the players. Adrian's not on the court. That's on us to do it. So as we get to that point and then beyond, we get to January 6th, where it goes the other way about no pride on defense. And he rips himself, he rips his teammates, and he says, we need to be coached better. And that was a start in the language, JR, where it wasn't just us as players need to do this.
Right.
It then became, we don't have a direction. We don't have a strategy. We don't have a, and I think that's where things began to turn. Now that's January 6th. This is just a few days later. Right. And then in Detroit, JR, the broadcast shows Giannis drawing plays on the sideline.
Really, and really, look, interesting.
You know, Giannis loves the game. He's interested in the game. He thinks about the game all the time. He does draw plays, but again, what do you do with that, right? And so, yeah, I don't think he's had anyone hired or fired per se, but clearly wherever he was in this process, he was visibly, vocally frustrated. There's no way around that. Mm-hmm. Damian Lillard, you know, vocally not as sort of forceful as Giannis, but Dame got his points across about, well, you know, I've never been off the ball this much, or, you know, I'm kind of standing around, or
right.
He was searching, like he was changing his game to fit Giannis. But I think Dame was also looking for a little direction in how to do that, or also how to make him in spots. And this isn't all just on Griff, man. I think, you know, Griff had a nice rotation to start the year with them staggering those two. Right. Giannis on, Dame off, and et cetera. And then Dame wanted to play all the first and all the third. And that screws up. That really messes up rotations when you have a player who wants to play two full quarters or you know, a quarter and a half. Right. So I it's not just Giannis. So I have to bring Dame in because that's part of this. So, yeah, they're it's part of it, JR. And look, Giannis signed the extension. This is Damian's first go around in Milwaukee. I don't think they want Damian Lillard to request a trade in the summer.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think that there's a part of all of this that's – it's just bigger than bad defense. And it's not necessarily an indictment on the person of Adrian. I think the dynamics of the team changed, and he just was not equipped for this. version of the Milwaukee Bucks.
I think that's really well observed. And, you know, it's already tenuous because Damian Lillard, we know, wanted to go to Miami. Didn't want to come to Milwaukee, which is, not Miami. So there's already a little bit of, and he said all the right things and it settled in, I think, but just, you know, there had to be a certain assuaging of the situation. And I don't know, like Adrian Griffin just got here. I don't know if that was really something he should have been in position to do. But I like even more for people who may, rubes like me, who maybe don't see the matrix when it comes to X's and O's, it's hard to parse what is personnel and what is the coach, because Damian Lillard and Malik Beasley and others on this team are not the defenders that they have had in previous years. Obviously, Jrue Holiday being the missing one. I don't think if they don't make the Lillard trade that they're any better off. I think they have many more losses because they've needed that offense from Lillard. You know, they certainly don't win it like Sacramento. You know, there's a lot of games that I think you could point to, but and Jrue has struggled offensively a little bit in Boston as well. But you know, there is a shift there that's going to create a drop in defense. I don't know if you'd think go from top three defense in the league to bottom third. That feels pretty stark. But when we talk about the team struggling on transition defense, you know, that feels like an effort thing. But is it? Is it maybe more of an X's and O's thing? You know, I'm trying to pinpoint because Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer is one of the most vocal people about how Adrian Griffin is not the fit. You know, it's not working with him. He's not the only one. Certainly the Bucks Twitterverse has latched onto this. And honestly, I see some really good points. I don't see them. I hear people talk about them and write them. But I'm trying to figure out which part is the coach and which part is just the personnel. Like, your defense is going to slide backwards. It's just the way it is based on the guys on the floor. And which part is the coach needs to be the one to step in and make this work where it's not. And is that just get guys to give more effort, or is there a schematic thing that really has to happen, a schematic fit that the Bucks don't have?
Yeah. Again, I think it's a little bit of both. I think when the trade was made, the front office probably realized, oh, this is not going to be what we thought it was going to be defensively. I'm sure the tumble down to the bottom third, JR, is the bigger issue. I'm sure they'll say all the right things. And I wrote about this at the halfway point where Brook Lopez finally was like, look, we can't, like, few teams are great at both things. Like, yeah. Even Brook was at a point where it's like, well, we can get those stops when it matters, but not.
And they have, you know, they have.
And so I think it's just how, I think the front office must feel, and the players believe, they're not as bad defensively as they've shown. Some of that is scheme and has to be some sort of X's and O's communication, i.e. There's the Portland game. They come back and win, but Damian Lillard and Pat Connaughton have no idea what they're doing coming out of a timeout and leave a wide open corner three. Like, that's unacceptable. How do those two guys who have been in the league a total of 20 years, not know what they're doing? Is that because they weren't listening? Is that because they were listening but didn't understand? Or they got out there and they didn't talk to one another? I don't know. They might reveal that stuff later in the season. Mm-hmm. you know, you mentioned, so offensive rebounding and second chance points have been an issue. In Griff's scheme, guys like Giannis and Bobby and Chris, some of their rebounders, if you will, have not been – the scheme has put them on the perimeter, where even Bobby said, he's like, look, sometimes it's not my job to get the rebound. I got to go find this guy over here. And so that scheme, you mentioned transition defense. Now, to me, that's on the court. That's paying attention. Mm-hmm. That's Chris Middleton makes a 10-footer and Detroit decides to run up the court. What are you doing? You're pulling the ball out of the basket. Like, that's not a coaching thing.
Yeah.
And look, there was another play in Detroit in transition. Brook Lopez and Pat Connaughton are back. Okay. Brook's in the paint. It's a 2-on-2. Why was Pat hedging toward the lane and leaving Alec Burks wide open for a three? Like, if that dude wants to go one-on-one against Brook Lopez in the paint, that's what you got to do. Pat, you got to get over.
Good luck.
That's, yeah. Like, to me, that's not a coaching thing. That's, that guy made a mistake, right? And that happens. Every single player on the team has those moments. Giannis has been caught floating and not doing what he's supposed to do either.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's always a combination. But I do think some of the schematic flaws were accentuated by personnel flaws, accentuated by whatever on transition defense. They played hard. They never quit on this guy. Like, that's the thing, JR. Like, how many games could they have mailed it in? You know, and but they never did. Now, they had some bad losses, Cleveland, Utah, those two, Toronto, Atlanta early. But you never thought, wow, the Bucks have quit on Adrian Griffin. Like, that's not right. Their makeup. And, yeah, personnel-wise, look, we'll see. John Horst has made several deadline deals in his time. None of them have been, like, spectacular. Like, he does his work in the offseason. But we'll see. Maybe they're counting on Doc Rivers and whoever he brings in to accentuate the staff can make Damian Lillard and Malik Beasley and Cam Payne and Andre Jackson Jr. and Marjon Beauchamp, like, replacement level to plus defenders. Maybe there's a magic scheme and a magic language they can implement immediately. That, like, that's part of this too. Now I'm curious to see, but look, Damian and Malik try hard. They give effort. Yeah, defense for sure. Is effort. You see that, right, JR?
Absolutely.
Like,
yep.
You can't have these comebacks. You can't have these close wins. Like Chris said, that last game in Detroit was a defensive win. I think they strung together like 5-6 straight stops in order to win the game. That's what they've been doing. That could win a championship. Like, you score 125 points and make 5 stops, like, you're going to win, right? But I think it was just all of that together and maybe that little bit of unease of, is Adrian's stuff going to click? Is it finally going to get there? And I just think, JR, they're like, you know, we can't risk it. We feel like Doc is, you know, going to be the guy. So let's just make the move now.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way, 30-13 is quite astonishing because they've had a lot of those clutch defensive stretches at the end of games. And, you know, I do think there were red flags early on. I think the biggest one is Terry Stotts walking away from this team. And then I said this before, coupled with the slow start. And slow start, again, in quotes, because they were winning games. They've always been winning games. But I don't think that – like, I truthfully could not have foreseen this team winning a championship as currently constructed because I think they would be completely exposed in a series against the same team 4 or 5 times. They wouldn't get clutch defensive stops in game 4 against a competent, a really high-level Eastern Conference team. So I did think they had a major ceiling on them, even at 30-13. Going back to the Terry Stotts thing, does this reframe that at all? Do you have any greater clarity on what happened there? Do you think we'll hear from Terry Stotts sometime in the next couple of days? Because there might be some information there. I don't know.
To the latter point, no, I don't think so. No. I don't think we'll ever hear from Terry Stotts again until he's hired somewhere else or he gets an analyst job or whatever. I mean, look, that's always going to be part of this story until Terry and Adrian really and John Horst are really, like, honest and open about that. But let's be real.
They can't be.
That's not going to happen. So that being said, it's always going to be in the mix as, oh, the first domino to fall. I still maintain, JR, that was just not a fit between two personalities, two styles of coaches. I don't think the Damian trade helped that situation because all of a sudden now you have a player coming in who had been with Terry for 9 or 10 years.
Yeah, it's a total power shift completely.
So I think there was an already – a weird working environment they're trying to make work. If anything, JR, I mean, look, I don't have reason to doubt that the reporting that Doc Rivers was sort of asked to mentor or be a confidant or consultant to Griff. But if that's the case, like, John Horst has been pretty heavy-handed here then with sort of hiring Terry Stotts or hiring Doc Rivers or whatever it may be. I mean, that's a very interesting that's, to me, of the stock stuff, JR, that's the more interesting part of it to me, is that the front office has been this involved with, you know, sort of forcing or putting in other coaches.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to Jason Kidd, too. I mean, he had a winning record in the middle of the season. It was not a good enough season, but, like,
yeah,
they're not afraid to make bold strokes like this. They are involved.
Right. So, you know, I still don't – so the stats thing is always going to be part of the narrative, but I still feel like that was more of a coaching personality issue as opposed to, oh, my God, Terry Stotts. Like, look, Terry might have thought this was inevitable or this could happen. But also, if he thought this was inevitable, JR, why not stick around? Because right now you're the head coach of the Bucks,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, so I think, you know, I think and I have been around enough NFL coaches, JR, who have stuck around. Those are like, you know what? Big guy gets fired. I'm the interim. I'm the next one. Like, so look, maybe Terry just didn't want to do that, but he could. So I don't know. I still feel like that was a more of a fit issue as opposed to, you know, some grander predictor. But again, it's always going to be, you know, a flag in the, a flag in this yeah. storyline.
I have a two-part question. The second one is more important, but they're certainly related. Do you agree with me that this team didn't look like they could win a championship with Adrian Griffin? And if so, does changing the coach work? Like, we'll talk about Doc Rivers specifically, but the gambit of changing a head coach, can that take a team from not good enough to championship caliber? I mean, the record says they're championship caliber. So is this a gambit that you think can pay off?
I thought they could win a title with Adrian Griffin. I had seen enough. I had seen the things he was talking about and that the players talked about on the court of, okay, this is better now than it was when they were 6-4.
Mm-hmm.
This is better now than it was when they, you know, ended the year. But it was taking a long time and the players were getting
antsy, sure.
More antsy.
Because they don't have a lot of years here. This isn't a long-term play with what they've got on the roster right now.
Yeah, so I think they and honestly, JR, they literally – it's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime – name all your teams you want that you'd be curious about. Anytime the Milwaukee Bucks would walk out on the court, they'd have the two best players of the 10 on the floor. And then Chris Middleton might be the fifth best, the sixth best, depending who – that is, and then Brooke Lopez is maybe the eighth best, right? So if not seven, right? So like they were so talented that it was making up for some of this stuff early, and I thought as they got to the spring or summer, it could come together. I had doubts about that, but I was willing to say like sure, and largely because Dame and Giannis like. Like those two guys,
they can win games by themselves.
Like you know, and again, that's leaving Chris Middleton one on one to hit an 18 footer of his own making, right? You know, to go up. So, I think so. I think they could have now changing the coach. I think you can't really separate it from Doc, because if you were to just say, "Well, all right, we don't believe it is going to get better." We don't think the players are going to stay in line, so we got to change the coach. Joe Prunty, I think, is a good offensive tactician. I think he's a good assistant coach. I also think he's a good assistant coach.
Sure.
Look, I think the Bucks were going to make the playoffs that year. Whether Jason Kidd was still there or not, would they have pushed the Celtics to seven games? Maybe. I don't know. I think you can't really argue Joe did a good job steering that ship, right?
Yeah.
If you were to say he was going to finish this out, I don't know. I'm like, what? Like, why are you changing this? Like, it's just the same guy. It's the staff, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you can't separate it from Doc and that they feel this is the move they can make. So, yeah, of course they can win the championship. If I thought they could with Adrian, of course they can with Doc Rivers.
Yeah,
I guess it'll be to be determined if it's, you know, because they have the two best players on the court every time, or if there's some magic formula that Doc Rivers has that can, you know, make this a a top 10 or a top 15 defense. And, you know, that time will tell on that one.
Doc Rivers has a lot of experience working with superstars. That's obviously a situation he's walking into now. His knock is that he does not do well in the playoffs. He does have a title, and he's got two NBA Finals appearances, but it's been a while. And that is why they fired Mike Budenholzer, because they didn't like how his system translated into the playoffs. So here they have a different coach with kind of a similar, you know, a similar issue, I guess you could say. I don't believe for a second the reporting. This was very strange how it was. Oh, Doc Rivers is the leading candidate. And then, oh, they haven't even spoken. The Bucks haven't even spoken to Doc Rivers. And then, you know, within 12 hours, he's hired. I don't believe for a second they hadn't spoken. You don't find a replacement. You don't even make this change if you don't have Doc Rivers lined up to step right in. Again, he's one of the 10 winningest coaches in NBA history, so you could do a lot worse. He's got Milwaukee ties, went to Marquette University. He's very well known in this town. But did he have a relationship with the Bucks before this? You know, I'd kind of heard rumblings that he might have been consulting a little bit. I know he worked with ESPN, but where? I mean, they didn't pull him out of thin air. They clearly have had conversations. Has he been what's he been doing? Like, what is his relationship with John Horst that this came together so quickly?
I mean, I'm sure they've known one another. I mean, you can't coach for 25 years. I think John's been in the league. I mean, I'm sure they know that. They've known one another. Yeah, I'm guessing we'll get some clarity on some of this. I knowing John, I'm curious to see this consulting thing in December. I will see if he'll speak to that or not, because again, it sort of lends itself to some thoughts of subterfuge, or, you know, you're the consultant, we'll just fire this guy because we'll do the, like, we'll see. Doc's been doing this for 25 years, so there's going to be good and bad, right? He's won more games than he lost. He's won Coach of the Year his very first year in Orlando back in 99. Won a title with the big three of KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen back in 2008.
19 playoff appearances in 24 years. Pretty good.
Finals appearance in 2010. A Eastern Conference Finals trip in 12, JR. And yep, that was it.
That's it.
He has been a second round and out guy, which, let's be real, that's one of the reasons Mike Budenholzer has been fired or was fired. The Bucks had lost in the second round or earlier in three of his five seasons. I mean, and Doc has had some notable chokes. I hate to say it, 3-1 in the bubble. Like, that's a choke by the math.
Yeah. Especially with the players he's had. I mean, he's had top shelf talent.
Yeah. The one seed Philadelphia 76ers losing to Atlanta in the Bucks championship year. Like, that's not good. Ben Simmons catches a lot of stuff for that, but Joel Embiid was not good. On one hand, Joel becomes an MVP, but yet when all of that goes to heck with James Harden, Doc Rivers is fired. And again, too, as we started this, like, if James or Joel are really loving what's going on, is Doc Rivers even available, right? So I don't know. The Clippers – been very good. Obviously, they have still yet to achieve much under Ty Lue. So, you know, maybe that's not a coaching issue in LA. Maybe that's a player thing. But it's, you know, 15 years ago, he's won a title. Stars are stars, right? Hall of Famers are Hall of Famers. Doc played, just like Adrian played. But Doc was an all-star, you know, so maybe there's a different kind of mentality there to a degree, JR. We'll see. I think, you know, defensively, that's the thing. Like, I'm really interested to see what he decides to do defensively, because part of the issue with Bud was, yes, this is a great defensive system, top five, Brooke plays top one. You get to the playoffs and things were really rigid. So does Doc build off of what Adrian started and the fact that these guys are more comfortable in zone, they're more comfortable in some switching, they're more comfortable in some, like, you know, different types of defensive moments? but maybe they just go back to a drop like all the time, but then pulse it. I don't know. We'll see. I'll be honest, JR. I don't know Doc Rivers's defensive, like if he's adjusted this year to year, if he's got a certain thing he likes to do and that's what they do. I guess we're going to find out. But yeah, I think those are real questions. Like, is Doc the guy to get him over the hump? Clearly they feel he is. He's been there, but it's been a while. And so we'll see how this plays out for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask what his strengths are perceptively, because I can't answer that question. I mean, he's had so many superstars, and granted every team has superstars now. So, you know, you can't ever separate a coach from their best players, of course, but you know, I don't like when I think of the Boston championship, I don't even think of Doc Rivers. I think of, KG's anything is possible gif. And, you know, you think of the big three. You don't think about Doc Rivers doing amazing things to put them in positions, although I'm sure he did. You know, I don't know exactly what I would say he does well, but he is, you know, he's got the eighth most win. You know, he's been coaching for 24 seasons. He's obviously doing something well. And I don't know if you have any more insight on that. Like I also, you know, part of me thinks, well, not many guys are going to be available in the middle of the season. So it's not like this can be an exhaustive search to find, you know, Kenny Atkinson is employed now. Nick Nurse is employed now. You know, there aren't other options really lying around that you can just insert into a championship caliber situation and have work. I mean, I do think Doc Rivers is kind of perfect that way in that he has this experience and happened to be working for ESPN after 24 straight years in the business. But you know, like I'm sure there's something that he brings to the table, right? I don't know.
Yeah. Look, and some of it might just be, especially this year, no camp, no practices. I mean, Doc's a smart guy. Like, it would not be a recipe for success, in my view, to totally, hey guys, I know we're playing 8 games in 13 days and 6 of them are on the road, but let's change everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? Like, I feel like there's going to be, Doc maybe learning the language so he can call these things that the guys already know. But it might be, tactically. I mean, look, the easy one right now, JR, is, okay, well, Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo don't spam pick and roll. And we've talked about this on these videos where, you know, I have felt sometimes that's not – you don't really need to do that. Like, they're the greatest Bucks offense in franchise history is currently constructed. They're the number 4 offense in terms of total points of all time, or top 5, I think, in this year's Pacers are number 4. So, like – they've had, despite some of the Lillard shooting issues and maybe some of the herky jerkiness with him and Giannis and their 2-man game, it's the offense is amazing. So maybe Doc comes in and says, well, you know what? Damon Giannis, we do need to see more 2-man pick and roll. Like, if we're going to go down to that in the stretches of games, you have to run it more now. So maybe we see that more often. Damian has really, tried to fit in, his usage rate is down and shots per game are down. Threes are down as he's trying, but obviously Giannis is scoring more than ever. Right. So like, I think maybe Doc comes in and says, hey, Dame, I know you want to make the right play and kick it out to Beasley in the corner or Pat over here, but this is a shot you have taken your whole career. Cause that has happened, JR, where we're sitting there, Giannis kicks it out or someone and Dame doesn't shoot it. Right. We're like, why doesn't he shoot this?
Right.
So I think Damian has struggled a little bit with his comfort of not wanting to come in and just be like, well, if Giannis takes 25 shots, I take 25 shots because that's the way it's got to go. Maybe Doc comes in and empowers him a little more to say, hey guys, like, yes, Malik Beasley, 47% from 3 in the corner. Awesome. But Dame, you're Dame Lillard. You help change the game of basketball. If you've got it, you can also shoot. So this sounds like – so I think that's what we're going to see from Doc. I don't – now defensively, you know, I imagine he's got some ideas of how to put guys in some better spots. Again, we mentioned the schemes where Giannis and Bobby are away from the rebounding angle, angles that they need to be, or, you know, Brooke is, you know, trying really hard, but maybe Brooke should not have zero possessions where he's guarding Malcolm Brogdon at the three line. So maybe there's just some stuff like that, JR, that, you know, because I can't see it totally changing with no practice and no camp. So it's hard to say, like, oh, Doc does this. This is what we're going to see. Maybe. But I feel like that might be too tall of a task, even for a guy who's done it for 25 years.
Here's what we need to see, because I use the Mecca backdrop for those of you that watch this on YouTube. Of course, that's a venue Doc Rivers knows well. They should definitely have a game at the Mecca again. Not this year, obviously, but like they need to bring that back, because that was a lot of fun. And that would be a cool thing. What a great homage if Doc Rivers is, in fact, here beyond the rest of the season, which I would assume so. You know, like I don't know. I don't think you bring Doc Rivers in just for a few weeks, a few months. Before I let you go, just you know, January 24th here. Just a couple thoughts on what has to happen for this Bucks team to reach that peak efficiency to survive this difficult schedule, you know, and come out through the All-Star break firing on all cylinders. Are there a couple things that really jump to mind that you've been following lately, or things you're still wondering about before this team can take that step?
Yeah, again, this really changes some stuff. Like the Cleveland Cavaliers, since they've come back from Paris, I think they've beaten everybody by like 30.
Yeah, they're back to being really good.
You know, so the Bucks have them now twice in 2 days here. Would I be shocked if the Bucks lose twice and look bad? No. Especially if Joe Prunty coaches the first game and then Doc shows up the second game. I don't think you're going to like change a whole lot. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe that different voice, that different.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Dude, Doc's going to be at the game tonight. I don't think he's going to be coaching, but like, I bet you he's there and he gets a big round of applause. I don't know.
We'll see. Crazy. Yeah. That'll be interesting. So, you know, they were good already. So in terms of it's about smoothing it out. And I think the thing I'll look for first is the guys talking about clarity and confidence, sort of that intangible stuff, JR. I don't know. Their schedule is bananas before the All-Star break. I don't know about wins and losses. I don't even know if they're that concerned about that. Like if they go 500 through this stretch and they're the 3-seed going into the break, like I don't think that's a big deal to these guys, but I think it's, okay, well, you lost that at Denver, where very few people win. Or you went to the wire in Phoenix against their big three, but there's a clarity and vision, or there's a belief in change of what they're doing, JR. I think that's what I'll be looking for, because I think to this point, and the reason Adrian Griffin was fired, is these guys really didn't have those things. So we'll just have to, you know, kind of keep an eye on what's said and you know, thoughts and feelings, right? As opposed to maybe immediate sort of offensive, defensive kind of things that may happen, but it may not. So I think I'm going to be doing a vibes check, if you will. Yeah.
Vibes check, baby. Love those. What a fascinating moment for John Horst here. I don't think he can really do anything at this point to tarnish his legacy as an excellent GM in the Milwaukee Bucks canon. I mean, he's been awesome, but he hires Adrian Griffin over Nick Nurse, who is, you know, now with Philadelphia, and maybe if Philadelphia is going to break through this trouble they've had getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's with Nurse, it could be super interesting. It could be a matchup with the Bucks somewhere along the way, and then, you know, will it have been a mistake to have gone the Adrian Griffin route, go with the unproven guy, and then wind up not having the fit that you wanted for the regular season? It's a fascinating little pivot moment. He is Jim Ozarski. Find everything he has at jsonline.com. He's covering the Milwaukee Bucks. He'll be there tonight, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, to take in that Cleveland Cavaliers game. That's a big game. These games are big. You know, they could easily fall like to the fourth seed if they can't hold off Cleveland. I know their record is still really good, and they're still in great shape. They're going to make the playoffs, of course, but I don't know. These are kind of big games. So interesting moment in time. Jim, unless you have any last thoughts, I'll let you go. Thanks for joining me, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. See you next time.
Yes, we'll be back on the Point Forward podcast. There's going to be some stuff to talk about, I imagine. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll chat with you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.